Welcome to the Two World Podcast, where you can hear thoughts and reflections on unique intersections between faith and culture. Tune in regularly for this foray into feelings of surprise and interconnectedness and aha moments in life when two worlds come together. Now join your hosts, Barney and Jacob, for this most recent episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Two World Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jacob, and I have with me today my other co-host, who is?
I am Barney.
And Barney and I are looking forward to talking with you today about the topic of coffee. It's something that is very interesting to both of us, and we each have our own stories related to coffee. It's something that we enjoy frequently and is a positive aspect of our week. And so we thought, oh, wouldn't it be interesting to explore this topic together? And so just to get us started, Barney, can you share with us a little bit about how you first got into drinking coffee?
That is a pretty interesting question. I guess I feel like it's kind of one of those stop and start things. I can't really pinpoint a time for sure, but I guess maybe one of the earliest times, youngest times I remember having coffee was at the Matzos restaurant. So we've had Chris on the show and Lee on the show, and their dad, Spiro, he had a restaurant which mainly served pizza, but also some sandwiches and a little Greek food here and there, as he was from Greece. And then one thing on the menu that he had was Greek coffee. And I remember my sister, who was a server there for a while, and she talked about it, and I tried it once, and it comes in a very tiny cup. The cup is maybe just 2 to 3 inches high, and just about that in the diameter, and or a little bit less, I guess. And it's very, very thick, but it's also very, very sweet. And I thought, wow, if this is coffee, this is pretty good. I could get into this. That was very great. But it's also very, very, very strong. And I think that from there, I guess maybe I mentioned again that one of the first times I had coffee was when I mentioned on our show about mentoring, was with my mentor at Worcester Mennonite, Rick Stayhauer. And I didn't know, but my dad knew that he was a big coffee drinker himself, and we both got coffees, and I couldn't believe that he just started drinking his right away. And I thought, well, I guess that's the way you do it. And I had a very burnt mouth then for a little bit. Yeah. And then I learned the art of sipping from there. But then I had times where, you know, maybe I first kind of consistently started drinking coffee, I guess, toward the end of high school, I guess. There wasn't so much for high school kids to do around Worcester, where I grew up. So we often went to a restaurant called Country Kitchen. Not sure if it's the chain or not, but it was kind of on the one end of town, just a little bit out of town. And you know, it's just kind of like a diner style. And at that time, I think that was to make it easier to drink coffee. I think that was when I kind of would add honey or something to the coffee to sweeten it up a little bit.
Interesting.
Yeah. That is the very brief interview. Yeah.
That was great. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yes. Mm-hmm. That Country Kitchen is a place where I went as a college student. I remember there weren't a lot of places that were open later in the evening, mm-hmm. and particularly if you wanted to get some breakfast items. And so I remember going there with Katie. Now I believe it has been changed into an Italian restaurant, Fiori's. I'm pretty sure that same building.
Really?
So I think, is that the one that was on Old 30, kind of near, as you're heading out of town,
right,
heading towards the bowling alley and past that? Yeah,
exactly. That's right.
Yeah. I think it's an Italian restaurant now. So,
yeah. Oh, wow.
But that's so interesting. Okay. So you started younger than I did then, because the first time I tried coffee was in high school. And I was around some of my peers who liked coffee. And at that time I didn't, I just seen my mother drink it. And I smelled, you know, the beans and the coffee out at the grocery store when you walk by and thought, oh, that smells so good. But a new coffee shop came in to the certain neighborhood in Wheeling near where my friends lived. And they were saying how good it was. So I went and tried it and I didn't like it still. I enjoyed being with my friends, but it didn't quite, for my palate, it didn't quite please me. I didn't feel like, oh, that's worth it. But then a little bit more into adult life, I started going every so often to Starbucks and getting those iced drinks that are mostly sugar and whipped cream and, you know, chocolate chips. And I'm trying to remember what they're called. Are they Frappuccinos. Mm-hmm. But that, I don't think that really counts for what we're talking about here. So it wasn't really until Katie and I were turning 40, and it was really Katie. She's like, you know, we should try something new as we turn 40, you know, let's broaden our horizon. Why don't we start drinking coffee together? And I thought, you know what, why don't we? So maybe my palate is different now that I'm a little bit older. So we started drinking coffee from Tulipan, the Hungarian pastry place in town, and it was really good. And I found myself, you know, adding cream and sugar because I was so used to the sweetness, you know, but really starting to enjoy the flavor. And it's so interesting because for our guests, Tulipan is a place that you and I have been able to go to, Barney. Yes. And so I actually have a couple of pictures that I wanted to share from Tulipan, if I can, for our guests here. So I'm going to try to pull that up if I can here. And just to give people a sense of the place, since this was where it started for me and Katie. So can you see that picture? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that's the two of us in front of Tulipan. And well, they have a really ornate, beautiful window outside there, their coffee shop. And then I actually also have a picture inside the coffee shop of a cup of coffee there that they typically serve up. And so you see the beautiful cup and saucer, and they have wonderful flavors. My favorite there for many years was creme brulee. And now I've gotten more into their decaf, but that's one of my favorites. So that's how I got started. It was in my 40th year of life, and my wife Katie had said, "Let's do something new," and so we tried it, and we've gotten into it. And as we talk about this more, you know, it becomes like a hobby. You can try different types of coffees, going to different places, and just trying different types of roasts, light roasts, dark roasts, espressos, things like that. And so, I wanted to switch gears a little bit and ask you what type of coffee do you like to drink and where do you usually get it from?
Yeah. I tend to like, bolder, darker coffees, I think. It's funny, I had a very similar experience, as you said, when shopping with your mom. It was same thing for me. My mom always would get Colombian coffee. And I remember when it was kind of a big deal when our grocery store kind of suddenly had these different bins of coffee that you would like measure out yourself. And it was so neat to see all of the different flavor, all of the different types. And I kept encouraging her, you know, what about this espresso one? You know, what's this? Even though I didn't really know. And she's like, no, it has to be Colombian.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So always Colombian, which is, I think, probably a little bit more mild. But yeah, myself, French roast or espresso blend, you know, we have, when I'm able, there is a coffee shop. Or I guess kind of like a unique grocery store. They have lots of different items from different countries around the world that really we can't really find anywhere else here in Japan. And they also have lots of coffee beans available.
Nice.
And it's nice. They have kind of like a scale, three different attributes that they have scaled out, like how bitter it is or how you know, maybe darkness. I can't think, to be honest, of what the three are, but it helps you kind of choose what maybe you're most interested in. But I think that I really like espresso coffees and richer coffees. I guess I don't know if there's any real reason why, but I guess maybe I just prefer the bold flavor, and also it tends to go well with milk, and I enjoy adding, you know, milk to my coffee eventually. But I remember that soon after I moved to Japan, then I started taking Japanese lessons, and there was another guy there from Italy, and then he invited me over to lunch once, and he introduced me to the moka pot. Are you familiar with those?
No.
Okay. The shape is kind of, it makes me think of an hourglass shape, but it's metal, and you put it on the stove. So you put a little bit of water in the bottom, and then it has like a little filter, a metal filter in top, and then you put espresso ground coffee, so real fine coffee over that, and then you screw the top on.
Oh, interesting.
And then it as the water boils, it percolates. It goes up through the top and then fills the top, and you have espresso. And I was fascinated with that. And he inspired me to actually go to that same coffee shop I mentioned earlier, grocery store, and buy my own version of that. But one thing that he said to me that I loved, and I'm kind of translating the way he said it, but in Italy, he said that they have a saying that is kind of, no matter how bad life is, you can always add sugar to your espresso. So, you know, espresso nice. As itself is quite bitter, but you can always make things a little bit sweeter by adding sugar to it.
I like that, yeah, Barney. Yeah.
But yeah, so that kind of started my journey of being interested in different ways of making coffee, because up until then, my only idea was either the kind of percolated, the coffee that you brew with the coffee maker, or like those super fancy espresso machines that are so expensive, but some people maybe have them at their home. And I didn't realize how much there was in between. And so I had the mocha pot, and then I had the French press, and then I had the K-cups. And then now we do like a paper filter, you know, one cup at a time with, we don't use the gooseneck pot, but we actually use a cast iron. Japanese teapot that I don't know if we're supposed to or not, but you know, it's perfect for pouring. And and then I've even upped my game further by asking for a cocktail shaker for my birthday. So when we make iced coffee, then I pour the espresso in there on ice. Ooh. With milk and a little honey, and then just shake it until it's nice and cold. Then you can have nice cold iced coffee. So
wow, Barney, it's pretty, that's incredible.
It's pretty serious over here. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love it. Yeah. Yes, well, thank you for sharing that. That's fascinating to me. The other day we were in a local coffee shop here called Sure House, and I definitely want to talk about that one a little bit more in a bit, but I noticed that they had this device, this instrument for making coffee, and it's very similar to what you were describing with the mocha pot. Mm-hmm. And it was just sitting on display for decoration on one of the counters. And I asked the barista about it, and she explained the process, and it was very similar. It might be a mocha pot or something that operates in a very similar concept. So that's so funny that I just learned about that, you know, within the past week, and here it connects with what you're doing. So I love it. Well, can I show you a couple of gadgets that we use here? When we're doing coffee, we got this device here, which is called an air press. For those who are watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see it. But for those who are just listening, I'll describe it to you. There are two parts to it. There is a cylinder, and at the bottom, it screws off, and you can put a little paper filter in. And then you fill the cylinder with your ground coffee. And then you actually pour water into the cylinder till it comes up to the top. and then you let it sit for a little bit, and then you put this other part of the device on, and then you press it downward. And as you do, it pushes the coffee through that filter that you have on the bottom right into your cup. And so it does a pretty good cup of coffee. It's not our favorite method, but we actually bought it to do more cold brew coffee. But if you're trying to do it quickly, this is a really good device for going quickly, and it does a pretty good job. But the thing that we use most often is the French press. And so this concept, many people probably know of it already, but is you put your ground coffee into this metal pitcher, and you pour in the hot water and you stir it and let it sit for about 4 minutes or so. And then you put the press on top and you press it down till it pushes the coffee down to the bottom. And then the press itself, the bottom of it has like this little filtration system. And so then when you pour from the pitcher out into your coffee cup, it holds the grounds in the bottom. And I think that does a really nice cup of coffee. So that's what we do. And we get our coffee mostly from SureHouse. And I have a screenshot I want to share of that. Just of their, I mentioned before Tulipan, how they had a decorative window. Well, SureHouse also has a nice window, and I want to share that. This is how they decorated their window around Christmas time. They actually had like a mural from The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, and they had it at the front of the coffee shop. But that's a really wonderful local place, and we get our coffee from there. And there's a really interesting story I want to share about that place just quickly. During the pandemic, when you really could only have takeout orders of food or other items from restaurants and coffee places, SureHouse did something really interesting. They would write on people's cups little inspirational messages.
Oh, wow.
And this is a cup that we got during that time when we got our coffee to go. And you can see at the top of the cup, for those who are watching the video, it says, "Keep looking up." And I thought, oh, that's a lovely idea to write some inspirational messages, so that when we get home to drink our coffee and we sit down and we actually look at the cup more closely, we had a positive word for us there. So so I'm very grateful for that place. This is what their bags of coffee look like.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah. So did you like SureHouse? I know you've tried that.
My parents even mentioned it a few years ago. So it was, and then we went there, and then it was nice, just our last visit in July, to go there again a few times. And the coffee, the people who work there are very delightful. Mm-hmm. And it totally makes sense that they even went the extra step to write those nice messages. And the coffee was just really delicious. I was really happy with that.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. I also wanted to ask you, Barney, when you're drinking coffee, do you have any favorite mugs that you go to quite frequently?
Oh, yeah. I think I kind of have the bigger is better philosophy. So I even have this mug here.
Ooh, nice.
I got it on discount. It's Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. Minnie Mouse giving Mickey Mouse a kiss, and them both kissing on the other side. I got it for Ayako, but I think I've kind of taken it over just because it's one of our biggest mugs. And that one I use a lot for coffee. And I think, but it's interesting to think about coffee and what you drink it out of, because whenever we would have, when I was growing up and we would have company over, especially when my mom's sister and husband would come up, my aunt and uncle, or my grandma, and we used the fine china, and then we would have coffee afterwards in those cups. And I don't know what it was, even when I was younger, boy, drinking coffee out of those cups, it just made it taste better. I don't know if that's true or not, but I really, and everyone else agreed. They thought, wow, it just really tastes better out of these cups. And I can't say why. There must be something out there about that, if it's true or not true, and if it is true, then why? But everyone echoed that notion. We all had the notion that that was so. But yeah, otherwise I often take my coffee with me in a thermos, so that's one of the main ways. But even my and then at work I usually pour it into a mug. So my coworker, she said to me, why do you bring your coffee in a thermos with and pour it into a mug? And I said, well, I just feel that it tastes better because it has the chance to cool off just a little bit, like the steam gets out a little bit, and yes. I think that affects the taste. And you know, if it's in a vacuum flask, then it's always hot, really hot yes. coffee. And I feel that you can enjoy it a little bit better after it sits for a little bit. But then she understood that. But that's about the main ways that I go for the coffee. How about for you guys at your house?
Yes. Well, I want to show a few mugs here. This mug is gray with a kind of a slate blue pattern on it, almost like a series of fans beside each other. Mm-hmm. And Katie found this, and it says it's stoneware, 180 degrees stoneware. And she just thought it was the most delightful little coffee mug.
Yeah.
And little did she know, when she would bring this home, it would be coveted, because everybody in the house will use this mug when they see it. Micah would go by and fill it with water and get a quick drink of water, or Aubrey or Hannah. And so rarely was it ever available just to Katie. So what we have done, we recently bought a rack that we can hang our mugs on. And now that it's kind of hung off to the side, it seems to be more, a little bit more set apart. So that's kind of funny. Then this mug here is pretty. It has, I would say, kind of a tan, grayish tan foundation, but on the top around where the lip of the mug is this beautiful blue pattern. Well, not a pattern, a beautiful blue accent. And this comes from a pottery place in Virginia, near Harrisonburg, Virginia. And Katie's good friend got this for her. So this is a new favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last coffee mug I'll show is from a place that Katie and I visited this past summer. And this is kind of a white cup with straight lines of blue going down the cup. Mm-hmm. And when you get close to the bottom, you can see there's a little texture for where that paint ends when the blue streaks come down. And this was something that we got at Crail, which is a small fishing village on the coast of Scotland, just a little bit ways from maybe 25 minutes by car away from St. Andrews. And so when we went this summer, we knew that it was famous for its pottery. So we bought a set of four of these little coffee cups. So those are among our most prized coffee mugs in the house. And it's kind of neat. Like you said, the aesthetics, what you're looking at while you're drinking the coffee can enhance the experience. And I think having a favorite mug and looking at it, appreciating its beauty or its familiarity does add to the experience. And like you said too, like finding the best way that you like to drink it, like you poured out of your thermos into a mug because you want it at a certain temperature. So each person has their own unique preferred way. I was kind of wondering, do you have any kind of funny stories about coffee or mishaps related to coffee, spills or times where you didn't get your coffee and you were dragging or something like that?
Oh yeah. Well, actually I just had one of those, not too recently. I was really busy going out the door and I didn't have a chance to make my coffee. And then of course I realized on the train, and I thought, oh man, what am I going to do? I've got to have my coffee. And I thought, okay, there's a Starbucks on the way in between the two train stations, I'll check in there. But then I thought to myself, since I'm so frugal, I thought, but if I have the tumbler, the thermos that they have, or any thermos actually for Starbucks, here, at least I know, they give you discounts with that. Okay. All right. So then I got my phone and I started checking the different thermoses. Oh, this is kind of nice. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll go to Starbucks, buy a thermos, and fill it up with regular coffee, and I'll be set. And then I went to the Starbucks, and the selection was, since it's a smaller store, smaller shop, since it's in just in the train station, the selection was just a little bit limited and not quite my style. And I should have just stuck with it and gotten the coffee anyway. But then I thought, oh, there's one more coffee shop inside the train station. So this Starbucks is in between. So inside, okay, I'm going to go there. I know the brand, you know, Ayako used to work there. My wife used to work there for a part-time job when she was in high school, but not at this one, but the one in the airport. You know, it's a chain, so it's kind of a nice memory. Okay, I'll go there. And then I looked at the prices and I thought, oh boy, wow, these prices are a lot higher than what I remember them being. Whoa. And so I thought, okay, I'll ask them for a medium-sized coffee. And they gave me a medium-sized coffee. And I promise you that this just happens to be on my desk, but this is a pretty accurate size. They put it on the counter and it was just about this size.
Oh my goodness.
Medium. Maybe it was maybe 80 milliliters or so.
Oh, wow.
It was very small.
A mini.
And very mini. And I looked at it and I said, I was just shocked because it, I said, in part because I had been looking forward to it so much. And then the staff stared at me and then they said, is there something wrong? And I just said, it's so much smaller than I thought it would be. And then they said, well, yeah, I mean, that's the size. So, you know, some shops have the kind of cups, empty cups arranged so you know what you're getting into.
Oh.
And then I said, I'm sorry, I just can't pay like $3 for this. And yeah. Then they said, okay, we understand. And I said, I'm sorry, I just can't feel like I could do that. I feel like I'm not quite getting my money's worth.
Right.
And then
right.
They said, fine, yeah.
Okay.
And then, oh. Yeah. And then I got on the train. And then I thought, oh, let's see, there's a McDonald's that's nearby. And I know that the size is pretty good there, but I don't quite have enough time to go there and then get on the bus. And then I got on and I thought, what am I going to do? I've had these three different ideas and I still have my coffee. And then on the bus, I thought, oh, yes, there's a convenience store just by the bus stop. And that size should be just fine.
Oh, good.
So then I kind of backtracked, got off the bus, backtracked a bit and got a large coffee. And I felt very confident about the size and the price, the performance there. And then got my coffee for the day. And
wonderful.
Yeah, so that was one of the journeys. And kind of another thing related to Starbucks is, I don't know if they do this in America, if you've ever run into this or anyone out there listening or watching along has run into this, but every once in a while here, you get a, you know, if you're watching the register and then all of a sudden a big long receipt comes out. And then if you know, oh, I kind of just won the lottery, because it entitles you to, if you fill out a survey, it entitles you to a free tall drink, you know, tall size drink of anything you want. And, you know, the staff, even they kind of in Japan, they even kind of explain it. They're like, you kind of just won a prize, you know? And I even just this year, you know, from last year, I got one in December and then I got another one in January. And, my Ayako was with me at the time and the staff is like, they always say, have you ever gotten one of these before? It's like, yeah, actually just got one once last month. And she's, and Ayako's like, chimes in, she's like, yeah, he gets these all the time. And the staff is like, I've never even gotten one. and then I've maybe gotten four or five of these. And I realized the survey itself, it's just like, are the staff nice? Are the bathrooms clean? You know, did they greet you or something like that? And then I realized that this is probably, I can't confirm this, it's probably my hunch, is that the survey is not so much about how the store is. The survey is more a kind of they're surveying you as to what does this person order if they have carte blanche, if they can order anything, what will they order? So I think that's what they're most interested in. Because, and I kind of know that's true, because once I ordered a shaken espresso there, but in Japan we don't have shaken espresso, so it was all a custom order. And even though the person kind of typed it in on the register, she still made a memo on the back of the receipt, everything that I had ordered. So it seems that they need to kind of keep track of what people are doing with these free drinks. So it kind of makes it even more fun because you think I'm kind of influencing the direction of the coffee that they're going to offer
Oh,
here, you know,
nice.
if I can come up with some really cool order.
Oh, wow. I love that.
But
You have such interesting stories. Oh, my goodness. My stories are going to seem super lame, but in comparison, but that's okay, you know. I love it. I love those. So my story is more about a lack of dexterity and blundering a little bit. Katie and I typically would go on a date once a week in the morning, and Tulipan or Panera or Sure House were often the three locations that we would rotate between. And this one morning we had all of our breakfast there before us, and Katie was relaxing, enjoying her nice coffee, you know, taking in the visuals, taking in the wonderful aromas from the food, and drinking and sipping. And I went to get a refill, and wouldn't you know, when I come back, I somehow managed to spill my coffee and knock over her coffee and get it all over our breakfast and all over the
Oh,
table and all over Katie's outfit. It was just a nightmare. And she was very gracious about it after the initial shock of,
yes, it's quite
just
hot.
kind of like, what happened? And I said, I don't know. I think I was carrying it with a saucer, and you know, I jostled the saucer too quickly, and then my cup tipped, and then I tried to compensate
Oh,
to
yeah.
catch it, and when I scooped to catch it, I knocked over other stuff, and then but the staff were really helpful and kind, and they swooped in and helped clean up, and we
Oh,
were able
good.
to
Oh, yeah.
salvage the rest of the date, but and enjoy ourselves. But it was definitely a blunder with coffee, that's for sure. So, and then interestingly enough, I've gone to lunch before with peers, and I'm going to try to get the freshly brewed tea, and it happens to be right beside the coffee. Like the containers look similar or things like that. And it's happened two times now. Once I went to the spoon, and I was expecting to have nice cup of iced tea, and I poured in the coffee, not realizing it, and sat down in my seat and took a bite of my sandwich, and then went to take a big
Oh,
swig of my
dear.
tea, and then it was coffee. I thought, oh my. And then the second time was yesterday. I went with some friends to Panera, and their coffee and tea are right beside each other. I wasn't paying much attention, and I did the same thing yesterday. So that can happen too, unfortunately. But yeah, anyway.
That in a way it reminds me of a story that Ayako tells, where her grandmother is an interesting character. And for some reason, her grandma thought that Ayako, when she was in si sixth grade, it's time for her to drink coffee. And then so she's, you know, invited her over to her room in the house there. And then they sat down together and she prepared coffee for her. And then she said, you know, this coffee is a little bit bitter, so let's add some sugar. So she added sugar into both of their coffees and stirred it up and gave it to Ayako. And Ayako just made this face and she said, "There's this coffee. There's just something wrong with this coffee." And grandma got a little bit annoyed. You know, why are you? Because especially back then, coffee was definitely a treat. And what's wrong? Why aren't you appreciating this coffee like you're supposed to? And then Ayako found out that instead of putting in sugar, she was putting in salt.
Oh man, that is so funny. What did her grandma say when she figured it out? Did she was
So yeah, so
she
finally she figured out, then she took both of the cups away and got rid of them. But before she realized what was going on,
What an introduction to coffee, right?
yeah, really, yeah.
Oh.
Have in all of your travels or things that you've done, have you had any kind of exotic or unusual coffees?
Yes. One time when I was studying abroad at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem the summer of 2000, which we talked about in, I think, our second episode of the podcast, several of the students who were Palestinian invited me to have coffee with them. And I didn't realize at the time what a generous and hospitable action that was, because there's a whole tradition around serving them Arabic coffee to a guest, and you use a certain cup and you brew it in a certain way. And it's meant to be a sign of hospitality and generosity. And so there we were sitting just there in the front of the Resnick dorm, and they have their coffee pot brewing there in a unique method. And I don't know yet the treat that I'm in for. I'm just talking with them and conversing, and then they pour it in little cups. And it reminds me a lot of how you describe the Greek coffee, thicker, in small cup, and you can add sugar to it. And, you know, at the time I was not a coffee drinker, but, it was a treat, even though I wouldn't normally think to seek it out, just to sit there with them and to have that coffee. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was a little bit less filtered when it was served than some of the coffees that maybe I'm used to drinking now. So there might have been some more residue of the coffee bean in the liquid. But yeah, that was a real treat. So how about for you?
Yeah, I have had the chance to have so at the medical school where I worked, we had a number of international students from Myanmar or Indonesia or Vietnam, and Vietnamese coffee. So like the coffee beans grown in Vietnam, I'm not sure if it's the soil or what, or the temperature, but it tastes very different from coffee that you find from Africa or South America. And it's really one of my favorite. I really like that taste. But then occasionally we would have like an international day or like once a month or so. And one time the theme was, and had different themes. One time the theme was coffee, and they had lots of different coffees for us that we could try. And, coffee from Myanmar and coffee from Vietnam. And then they said, okay, everyone, now, first of all, we're sorry that everyone just gets a little bit of this, but we have, I think it's called Kopi Luwak. So it's from Indonesia, and it's coffee that the civet, kind of like a raccoon type animal, has eaten and then not eaten, and then they take it, and then they I guess it gets fermented while it's in the animal, and then they roast it from there. And and then they said, this is, one of the students brought this, and we're going to brewed as much as we could, but it's just going to be a little bit for each person. And I had never tried anything like that. I was familiar that, I think, Jamaican Blue Mountain comes about by a similar way, I think, just a different animal. And it did taste, it was interesting because it was rich, but mild. So it wasn't bitter like you would think it would be when it looked so rich and dark. And it was very smooth and very, very delightful. And kind of, in a way, thinking of exotic or interesting coffees, just this summer, my dad's coffee maker, it's like missing one small part or something, is what my sister said. And then, so like sometimes the coffee grounds would, like it would have trouble, if we put more coffee grounds in it, it would have trouble getting the whole thing brewed. So we would do the best that we could, and my sister and her family drank some. But then I thought, well, this, again, going back to my frugality, I thought, well, this, I wonder what would happen if we ran some water and threw it again. So then I took out the compartment and kind of scooped down the filters, the coffee beans that were coffee grounds that were on the side, scooped them back down in the middle, and then ran like one cup's worth of coffee there to get. And It was probably, this is just my me only, but it was delightful. It was very bitter.
Oh, interesting.
And very rich and strong. And I thought, boy, this is the perfect cup of coffee for me, because I just loved that bitterness to it. There was something about it that was just really good. But I was so enthused about it that I said to Ayako, I said, hey, you know, I've got two cups of coffee for you, you know, here, see if you can tell. You can tell the difference between these two. And then she's like, well, yes, this one has been gone through a second time. It's very bitter. And I thought, well, don't you like it? And she's like, no, not really.
Well, I think, you know, to each their own, right?
That, as we were saying, you know, each person has a different way of enjoying their coffee.
That's interesting. Yes. Well, another aspect of this conversation that I wanted to share about is where my wife works. She works at Smucker's, and they actually have a number of coffee brands in their portfolio of brands.
Oh, wow.
And I just pasted a list in the chat, yeah. Like Folgers, Dunkin' Donuts, Cafe Bustelo, let's see, Roland Coffee, 1850, Cafe Escapes, Millstone. So coffee is a huge part of what they do. And when Katie first started working there, actually, they showed her and the other employees who were starting a video of in this farm to table series, where they take those employees through the whole process of how coffee is harvested and all the aspects of moving it from that point until it's produced and sold. And so I actually noticed when I visited her that in one part of the building where she is, they have a visual diagram of this same process. And I thought it would be kind of interesting just to take a moment and think about coffee in the bigger sense of how each cup that gets to us has an immense amount of work and intentionality and planning behind it. So, so here's a picture of that diagram. And you can see in the upper left, somebody actually getting the beans out in the field, and then they're processed. And as you move along, they're milled and then shipped. And then as you go further down on the diagram to the bottom left, you know, they're stored, and then they're roasted, and they're ground, and they're packed, and they're brewed. And all of this gets it to our cup. And I just am in awe when I think about that process. And it makes me appreciate more what's in the cup before me when I drink it, thinking, oh, so many hands have touched this. So many, you know, people have helped convey this to where it is, to the point where I can enjoy it. And so I think that probably also opens up the whole dimension of discussion of thinking about like locations where coffee is grown and harvested from, and then also the ethics surrounding the business of coffee. So here's another picture from the wall there in the Smucker building where my wife works. And, you know, you see here, they have different coffee regions around the world, the Americas, where they have the floral and the citrus north and the rich body cocoa coffee. And then they have Brazil, the nutty, wild acidity. Then they have coffee, a region, East Africa. And they have a region in Asia where they get their coffee beans from. And so it's interesting that it's truly an international phenomenon, but it also is interesting too, to think about like how we've probably over time had to come to grips with how we need to be aware of where the coffee's coming from and make sure people are fairly compensated along the way. A lot of companies try to be responsible and help consumers understand that, so that since the process is so long and involved, that at each step, you know, people are cared for and it's not exploitative. So it seems like a lot of companies now are trying to, you know, highlight that, and Smucker's included, that they get their coffee ethically, and it supports people and helps them where they are, and not something that is contrary to that. So I didn't know if you had any thoughts about, you know, regions of the world where coffee comes from, or the whole question of like with any industry and business, how do you make sure that the whole sweep of the people involved with it are cared for, and, you know, then when you get the final product, you feel like, oh, everybody was honored along the way.
Yeah, I wonder if it kind of gets back to kind of in a way Ayako's story with her grandma, how, you know, coffee for a long time was thought of as a luxury. I think even in the name of the book has slipped my mind, but there's a book I can think of from, you know, the 1800s or so, where you know, coffee was really thought of as such an extravagant thing. And yeah, I think back then, maybe people understood a lot easier how hard it was to come by something that's like coffee, and it had a real rarity to it. And then now it's just so much easier to get to that, and so many different brands and types and ways to have it, that yeah, I think for probably most of the people, myself included, until you showed me that picture, a lot of us wouldn't know how extensive it is to get the coffee. I mean, we all have an idea, oh, well, this comes from Brazil, or it comes from here or there, but that's just where it comes from. You know, it arrives, you know, somehow, but not doesn't take that long, you know. Yeah, and then being able, and then, you know, now we do see more, you know, like bird friendly coffee, or, you know, ethically, you know, coffee that expressly it says that it is the coffee growers are being compensated, you know, and not cheated out of their hard work that they're doing. But I really feel like it's something that, since it's, you know, one of the number one drinks for so many people, that it should be, there should be some campaign or some way that kind of does it in a an interesting way to convey to people, you know, just how much it takes to make your cup of coffee, and kind of appreciate this kind of luxury in a way that we get to have, you know, maybe every day or more than once a day.
That's well said, Barney. That's well said. Well, I wanted to ask before we would conclude our time today, did you want to share any of the pictures that you had prepared? I was able to share mine already.
Yeah. I couldn't quite think of a good segue, a good way to get some of these in here, but they're kind of fun. So if you'll just indulge me here. I'll just go to the back to the beginning here. So
that sounds good.
Thinking of, I think, you know, a lot of us like to start our day with coffee, like I was even mentioning myself. So there was a trip where we were driving, and I thought it was a long drive, and I thought to myself, I've just got to have a coffee. So we stopped at this kind of roadside stop. Yes. And there we go. I got my coffee. I had to have it. And apparently the kids, they had to have their ice cream. So
I love that. Yes. For those who are just listening in, it's a picture of Barney seated at the table with Yuma and Silas, and they're happily eating ice cream. And then Barney has a coffee right there in the center.
Yes. Right. We're all happy. But kind of, and then, think of how much coffee I have and appreciate coffee. This is a collage that Google, you know, Google Photos sometimes makes collages of the different coffees. You know,
these are your coffee, your photos. Themes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
This is actually just one of two.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So, you know, this talks about latte art. A lot of these photos have our lattes, and then they have the different designs that the baristas put on there.
Wow. I love those. Very cool.
Yeah. And are you familiar with this?
I am. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So kind of thinking of our talk of how we enjoy our coffee, this is a fun way to do it with a stroofwafel. So to have a nice hot cup of coffee, and then put a the Dutch dessert, I guess, snack on top, which is kind of like real thin waffles with caramel in between. And then it warms them up, and it's very delicious. And can you Can you guess the occasion for this picture?
Mother's Day.
Yeah, I guess in a way it kind of is true.
Taking breakfast to Ayako while she's in bed.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I could do such a nice job. This actually is one of Ayako's meals when she was in the hospital after giving birth.
Oh,
So
really?
yeah. So
What a
this is
lovely meal.
quite different, yeah, than what you expect to see. Just so this was at the clinic where she had probably Silas, and this is the type of meal that she would have for this was her lunch, and they
Can you
always.
tell our audio listeners what we were looking at?
Oh, sure, yeah. So she has a little I think it's potaf, kind of a soup that has a sausage and some potatoes and carrots and broccoli, and then a hard boiled, and the main dish is a hard boiled egg with a little ham and some cucumbers and tomato, and then some fresh bread and a little bit of fruit, and then a coffee
Wow.
and some milk, and it's all really nicely arranged. And yeah, she always looked forward to the meals that they gave her there. They were always something like this, and it was neat that we always kind of wonder, if you're nursing, how soon should you have coffee? Does it make it harder to get the baby to go down? But even here, they gave the moms coffee. They knew that it was something that maybe they kind of deserved, after their hard work.
I like that.
And
Wow.
yeah, and then this was just a bakery there. I've got a picture of some crusty breads and different breads and a nice coffee that you could get there.
It's nice.
And then speaking of different ways, here's me with my French press. At a restaurant that Ayako and I like. And here is a siphon. So at this restaurant, they're known for their siphon coffee, which I think that the brewing process involves a flame and it ends up siphoned into this kind of flask, I guess, and an
Amazing.
orbital flask. And then you just pour it from there.
Wow. I love
Yeah.
that.
And then,
Wow.
yeah. And then just a little bit of latte
Beautiful.
art. Yeah.
Beautiful.
This was at one of our favorite restaurants in Vietnam. And then kind of thinking of the idea of coffee, like you were saying, how far do you stray away until it's still called coffee? And then this is a picture, I think it's kind of like a Viennese coffee maybe. So it was a real rich coffee, and then on the top is whipped cream, and then dried strawberries that they put on
Oh,
top of it too.
wow. Oh, that looks
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, and it was from the Tully's Coffee Company, which I think is a British chain, but we don't really get it. I've never seen it in America though. And then finally, in Japan here we have a lot of chilled coffee, is what they call it. Chilled coffee. It's kind of like packaged coffee that you can get in the it's kind of like prepared coffee that is in a container that you get in the grocery store. In the dairy, I guess, kind of around that, it's chilled, obviously, and then you just stick a straw in it, and then drink it that way. And one of the most popular brands here is called Mount Rainier. I'm not sure exactly the inspiration for it. And so, after our wedding, when we went to Washington State, we hiked around Mount Rainier, and we took a Mount Rainier
I
coffee with
love
us, and
that. It's
had
like
our picture with.
meta.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, thank you for letting me share those though. And I
You
think it's
have
just good.
that in the back of your mind as something you wanted to do when you were there, where you kind of you
Yeah,
ha
right. Yeah.
yeah. I
We
mean,
took that with us
it took quite a
intentionally
bit
out
of
during the
intentionality. Yeah, so I love that. Yeah. Well, maybe since you had shared those stories and I like them, I love how each type of coffee was so different and you enjoyed them in different ways at different times in your life. It made me think of one more example
Oh, good.
that I could share real quickly from my end. When Katie and I were on vacation in Holland, Michigan last year, we do a lot of things with our family, of course, because it's family vacation. So that's what our focus is. But one morning we got away to this bakery and it was just heavenly to sit there and to drink our coffees and enjoy a little bit of time, just focus on the two of us. We were looking forward to getting back together with the rest of the kids and doing our schedule for that day. But just that moment, the two of us were there in that place. It's called De Bauer's, and this kind of Dutch bakery and coffee place. And we just loved it so much. And so I had to take a picture from that moment. And here's a picture of the mug that says De Bauer's on the front. And so one of our guests who we had on the show a while back, Michael Ludwig, is from Holland, Michigan. And he's the one who told me about this place. And so I'm so grateful he did. Thank you, Michael, because we really loved going there. It was a real treat. So yeah. So sometimes coffee is part of a reprieve where you're getting away from maybe busyness or a time when you're with a larger group of people. And then you're just getting some time with just maybe your spouse or just even yourself. So I also like that about coffee, how it's kind of can be associated with that idea of rest or retreat or getting away. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's, we are glad that you guys tuned in, that everyone out there tuned in with us today or is watching with us today. And, heard us talk extensively about our fondness and the ways that we appreciate coffee, something that, as I understand, started, you know, so many hundreds of years ago with an Ethiopian goat herder. And he noticed, why is it that these goats are so active whenever they eat these berries? And from there, then people started to think maybe there's something to this coffee tree. We hope that thinking about the stories that we've shared have made you realize how broad the topic of coffee is and how many different ways there are to enjoy it, especially the different feelings it invokes, such as hospitality, friendship, despite all the caffeine, even a chance to sit down and take things easy once in a while. And we appreciate you tuning in with us, and we hope that you, as we are looking for the next episode, and we'll see you then.